You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
Hey, look, we've all been there. Stress from work, restless nights, your mind racing when you're trying to wind down. What if I told you there's a natural way to feel calmer and to sleep better? That's where CBDFX comes in. And let me tell you, they've got this figured out. They've got something for everyone, from sleep gummies to CBD capsules and topicals. Take their CBD and CBD night capsules, for example. These are designed to help you fall asleep quickly and stay asleep throughout the night. They contain CBN, what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid, plus other natural sleep aids. And their original mixed berry CBD gummies have actually won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards. They provide gentle, calming effects that boost your overall well-being with a delicious natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been around since 2014, so they know what they're doing. Everything's made right here in the USA with organic hemp. No GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, plus third-party lab reports back everything up. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. And right now, my listeners can get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX.com. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, to get 40% off today. Feel the difference with CBDFX. Listening to the new requested theme song for Church's appearance, that would be a little bit of Donnie and Marie with a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. A song that was suggested by your beautiful, lovely, talented, whip smart wife, Roxy. Why?
Yep. Well, it is a better song than the Utah theme that we've been using. And then it also, maybe not.
It's the place to be, a Utah.
Utah.
All right. And of course, Donnie and Marie being Mormons and big in Utah, you figured it was appropriate for where you live.
Right. I don't know that they're still big in Utah. I don't. Maybe they live here. I don't know where they live, but maybe.
I think they're pretty big in Utah.
It brings up the big question.
Which is?
Which one of them was a little bit country and which one of them was a little bit rock and roll? Because it's not obvious. I mean, to my definition of rock and roll, neither is any rock and roll, even a little bit. So I think there's some room for debate on which of the two was a little country and which of the two was a little rock and roll.
Okay. I can't promise that this song is going to stick. I'm giving it to you for 1 week. Listeners, you will have the final say on whether or not you want this song to be Church's right. new song. I would imagine most people are going to say, just go back to the old
Lou-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo
of the Great White North, even though Church no longer lives in the Great White North. How you doing, buddy?
Speaking of which, did you see that Rush is going to tour again after 10 years and the passing of their drummer, Neil Peart?
Peart? I thought it was Peart. Peart. I thought it was it Peart, is not Peart. Peart. Okay, so Rush is going back on tour. Who is going to play the role of the irreplaceable, incomparable Neil Peart?
Perfect words to describe him, by the way. A German female drummer.
Boo.
that one of their sound technicians was working these pants.
I don't care how good she is. And I know a lot of girl drummers on YouTube that have girl drumming YouTube channels that knock out the iconic Rush song with Tom Sawyer with the drum fill.
And they're great. They can ape and they can mimic Neil Peart all they want, but I don't want a chick. I'm sorry.
Why? Zane.
Why? I want a dude. That just is the way I'm at. Why have a girl?
Just because he was a dude? Because he was a dude? How okay. How about just putting the best drummer on stage?
Did they listen to demo tapes blind without knowing who it was? If that's the case, if they listen to 50 demo tapes of drummers and they happen to pick a woman out of the 50 blind, okay, fine. I'd be willing to bet there's no fucking chance.
They said their sound engineer for Rush, who has been working internationally doing other gigs, including this girl and whatever band that she was in. And this guy who had been that he had been with Rush for like 20 or 30 years as their live engineer technician. Yeah. And he recommended her personally. That's a pretty strong endorsement for her. And also, Zabe, I think
who was she playing for?
I don't know the name of the band. It was not familiar to me. And it might have been because it's a German band. And I don't know very many German bands or any German bands.
Ooh,
I think
the German bands.
The Scorpions were a German band, I think. And 99 Luftballons was a German song. I think you're missing the bigger picture here, Zabe, which is for the first time ever, there's going to be a woman at a Rush show.
Oh. Are you saying they're typically sausage fests or have been in the past?
Total. Yes. That is a 100-0 ratio for most of these shows.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, I don't know. I've seen some concert videos, and I have seen women in the crowd. But you're right. It's not rife with women. It's not a Garth Brooks concert, in other words.
No, or an Indigo Girls concert. You're that's not where you're going to get laid. You're not hitting up the Rush concert like, hey, I'm gonna find some hot chick, go home with her. That's not happening. Every girl that's in the Rush audience is with the guy who loves Rush.
Really? Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. All right, let's get to the football charts. The Jaguars beat the Chiefs on Monday Night Football in Duval, not in Duval, which is how Liam Cohen said it at his introductory press conference. But my God, the Jags are 4-1. And this is a feather in their cap win on national TV. Assess the legitness of one Jacksonville Jaguars.
I need to confess that I've mostly seen highlights and the end of the game live. And so I did not see tons of this game. What I love is clearly Jacksonville overcame a lot of problems, many of them brought upon by themselves over the course of the game. A couple of interceptions. They had some terrible rulings against them by the refs, who increasingly people feel like the refs are in it, have got a stake in this for Kansas City. And then the signature touchdown at the end, a classic sort of Jaguar Keystone Cops where Trevor Lawrence is apparently going to go back for a pass. His center steps on his foot, so he crumbles and gets up. And I think when he got up, we all assumed he was just going to throw the ball away. And instead, he realized, I've still got a pocket here. And he starts scrambling around and finds his way into the end zone. Pretty quickly, people deduced that one of the members of the Chiefs, one of the linemen, gave up on the play. I'm trying to remember which one it was.
Chris Jones.
Do you remember?
I posted a finger of shame video. This was a bit we used to do. Once they started releasing the all 22s, and this didn't have to be an all 22 finger of shame. This was just, it was plain and glaring on the TV copy of the game, where what Andy Polin and I used to do was or listeners would do this too. They would see on the all 22 a guy doing something really stupid, right? That you might not otherwise notice. And they just put their finger in the way of the screen. They film themselves in front of their computer or their iPad playing the play, and they just point their finger there like, what are you doing, buddy? What? This is the finger of shame. You are like a controller that's come unplugged in a video game. So Chris Jones, who is all world, and I think a pretty good dude from what I've heard of him, he pulled a full-on Albert Hainsworth and flat quit on the play. And stood still like he was unplugged controller guy, and then walked two steps as Trevor Lawrence basically won the game. It was pretty shocking to see.
If all he had done was just sort of jogged with Trevor Lawrence, game over. That Lawrence is not getting that ball in the end zone. If he'd had just laterally stayed at the line of scrimmage and just sort of jogged and kept up with Lawrence, that would have been enough. But when he saw Lawrence go down, Chris Jones gave up on that play, maybe thinking the play was going to end, but you might want to play to the whistle. I've always heard play to the whistle. That seems to be a thing, and Chris Jones did not play to the whistle.
Okay, so there is also there's two PI calls that were very controversial. And Russell Yerk, who is the new guy in the booth because ESPN's either too cheap to pay a real referee or they can't find one now, although I can't believe that's the case. They used to have John Perry as their former referee in the booth, and he was pretty good, right? Now they've got Russell Yerk, who's never actually worn the lanyard of shame. Speaking of shame, the old whistle lanyard of shame, I call it. And he doesn't have a good pulse for what is or is not going to be called, or he's just telling the truth when the league is basically putting their thumb on the scale, because multiple times he's like, oh, yeah, that should be an easy call for PI. There was a pick play at the one.
The pick.
That,
yep,
100%. That helped. And it wasn't even the Chiefs wide receiver didn't even pretend to run a route. He turned his body and just slammed into the guy. Now, Kurt Warner claimed on Twitter that within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage, you're allowed to run those pick plays or even block if you want. Other people said, yeah, but when the ball's in the air, you're not allowed to do that, and it was, so it should have been PI. More troubling was the fact that Patrick Mahomes rose, you know, got in the face of the ref and started lobbying, and then they picked it up. This is a perception thing that will be very damaging to the league, Charge, if it's not nipped in the bud or curtailed to some degree.
People already think the Chiefs have got undue influence with the refs. This has been a narrative for 10 years. And, well, since Mahomes came into the league anyway, that's been the narrative. Right. And it's only picked up steam. And to have that game go down the way it did with a couple of really questionable calls, and especially this one where you pick up the flag after Patrick Mahomes makes his case, it's bad optically. Yeah. And now, I don't know if there's there probably isn't an institutional bias for the Chiefs. I don't think Roger Goodell is calling up officials and insisting that they give the Chiefs their way, the benefit of the doubt on calls, but it sure looks like that's happening, and that's bad for the league. Anything that damages the integrity of the league and makes people think that it's not an even playing field, that's absolutely, absolutely huge. So,
There was also a PI that should have been called on the Chiefs that resulted in a pick because a Chiefs defender just slammed right into a wide receiver for the Jaguars running a short crosser. And that, too, was one where Russell Yerk said, yeah, that was obvious. Aikman was crushing it as well. I've been hard on Aikman for all of his
uses.
I've been hard on Aikman for him using the word good job, good effort, good this, good that, great job, all the jobs that Aikman throws in there. But he's increasingly don't give a fuck about criticizing the league. And I love that. And bitching about the excessive amount of penalties.
So too many.
What we have here, I ask you this question. If I were to say the NFL's officiating has never been more capricious, i.e. roughing, pass interference, taunting, and B, suspicious, picking up flags, missing no-brainer calls, not explaining things like in the Philly game where Adrian Hill's crew didn't explain why they picked up a intentional grounding flag. If I said the NFL's officiating has never been more capricious and suspicious, change my mind. Could you?
I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try because it is. You know, penalties are up too much. I mean, we've gotten to the point now where after every good play that changes the balance, it feels like you're just waiting for the flag to come in. And I feel like I can't even enjoy the great moments of the NFL as they're happening because my eyes go to the bottom of the screen. I'm looking for the flag indicator.
Yeah.
And every play, the presumption is every play is going to have a flag. Not that there's an off chance for a flag. It's that every play is going to have a flag. So
where this came front and center in my mind very acutely this past weekend, that dread of did that wonderful thing I'm happy for. Is that going to stand? Did it really happen? Baseball. Yeah. I was watching the Brewers and the Cubs. And after a home run, I'm like, Brewers didn't hit a home run, but after they scored a run on a double, I was like, okay, I know that play happened. I know it's not going to get overturned on some bullshit rule. It's the nature of baseball in that, you know, unless it's a close play at one of the bases or at the plate, you know, the play stands. But I just love that finality, that certainty of it, because that's what sports is all about. And that's why I've been so anti-replay, that it is the thief of joy. It's the thief of the moment. And the effort to get it right, Charch, is overrated compared to the essence of the moment. And I'll die on
that. Well, it's not the same as it's not the same as penalties. I think it's a different conversation, but they both interrupt the game. They both detract from the fluidity of the game and the finality of any play. And I will grant you that. I'm still fundamentally not on your side on this, but I have softened my position through your years of beatdown. on instant replay.
I've tenderized the chicken on your replay stance.
You have tenderized my chicken, my man. Yes.
Bet you never thought that phrase would come into play, huh?
I did not. No, I didn't. Right. But I kind of enjoyed saying it. I won't lie.
Cut two. How do we know if Aaron Glenn is an idiot or if he's just got a bad team and it's going to take some time? In other words, how do you know if it's worth, quote, sticking it out with a guy like Aaron Glenn?
I can give you what I think is an irrefutable answer to that. And I look at Shane Steichen in Indianapolis, who for years we thought was a pretty bad coach. And the Vegas odds rolling into this season was Shane Steichen was going to be the first coach fired.
Of course, they thought they'd have Anthony Richardson at the helm. They benched him in August, so maybe those odds changed after they benched him. But nobody thought Daniel Jones would be this good either.
Correct. I think you can't evaluate a coach for the most part. You cannot evaluate a coach until he's had a requisite skill level quarterback. And the Jets don't have that in Justin Fields. That has been proven multiple times over. His stay in Chicago was too long. He was a starter for only 6 weeks in Pittsburgh before they benched him. You can't judge a coach until you have a requisite quarterback. And that to me, there are other ways internally, especially I think teams can evaluate, but I think you have to give coaches a reasonable quarterback, somebody with which you can actually judge.
I think in the NFL, Charch, there is a massive amount of quiet quitting, as they say in the corporate world, that is not recognized by the average media member and certainly does not get reported on. But there are a ton of subtle business decisions that get made in a locker room in the NFL when they know their quarterback stinks and they've got no shot.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that take?
I have talked to players about this. Retired. Once they're out of the game,
the secrets come out.
Then the secrets come out. And there'll be, and I won't say which player has said this, but this guy was talking about the Christian Ponder era with the Vikings. He said, we're in our first mini camp and I'm watching Christian Ponder, who's going to be, you know, the first round draft pick by the Vikings. He's going to be the quarterback of the future. And he says, first practice, we're fucked. This guy doesn't have it. He does not. He doesn't have an NFL arm. And he's like, I was dejected. He, at this point, right. He's still locked into a multi-year deal. He can't get out. And he's like, I know we don't have a quarterback. And I know we're going to go through the charade of hoping he's the quarterback. Yes, and he's not the quarterback.
Oh yeah. My God! All right,
look what Seattle's doing with Sam Darnold. You know, Seattle is a surprisingly good team. They just had an epic duel between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, both castoffs. Right. Teams that have been on with quarterbacks that have been on three or four teams each, but they have settled into the right place with the right coaching, and they have made coaches that otherwise might not have jobs into winners and people that nobody's talking about.
Yeah. Where did Darnold come from? Where did they get him from?
Darnold had previously been with the 49ers as a backup for 1 year. Before that, it was Carolina. And before that, it was the Jets.
Yeah. Wasn't there another stop, though, for Darnold somewhere?
No.
I don't think so.
That's four stops. And he, this 49er one was a big deal because he sat on the bench.
Hold on, Church. I could have sworn I thought he had a pretty good year with somebody. A really good year with somebody. Not long ago.
Feel free to look that up. And while you're looking, I'm going to mention the 49ers year was the big year for Darnold because he learned from the bench in a really good offensive system. But more importantly, the Vikings general manager had previously worked for the 49ers. And so he got intel from the Niners.
Okay.
But front office that said Darnold's a good dude. He's worth a chance. You know, we like
him. I'm pretty sure he actually played, not just learned under somebody and had a bomb year. Let me go to Grok because, you know, AI never lies. Oh, by the way, you wear the Stephen Hawking AI video trend that is now overtaking my timeline. And do you love it or do you really love it?
I've only seen one, and it was Stephen Hawking on a motocross circuit, and he's doing triple flips and ollies and stuff on his motorized scooter and stuff.
You have only seen one Stephen Hawking AI video?
Yes.
That's hilarious because I would argue there might be 50 of different things he's doing. There's WWE clips of Stephen Hawking. There is X Games skateboard ramp videos. There's NASCAR videos. I mean, it is crazy. And they look really good. And it's the worst video AI creation we're ever going to have.
Ever going to see, right?
It's still awesome. It's still awesome with the lighting and the physics. That's what blows me away, that they give the physics of what would it look like if Stephen Hawking in a motorized wheelchair with his slumped, poor body, crippled by whatever horrible disease he's got, were to be lifted up by Triple H in a wrestling ring and body slammed through a table. Like, the physics look real.
God,
and it was all done with just a couple simple prompts. It's crazy. Oh, my God, I found it. Church, last year, Sam Darnold threw for 4,319 yards and 35 touchdowns. Holy shit, with the Vikings, it says. Or Minnesota.
Well, we included the Vikings in this list.
No, you didn't. Wait, were you running a bit? I thought you were running a bit with me.
No, he was. I was not running a bit. He played.
I thought you were running a bit. Rewind the tape. I don't think I set you up for a taunt. I set you up for a taunt. I said, "Where did he come from?" And the first word you said was the Niners.
I thought you meant pre-Vikings. That's all. I thought the Vikings were the assumed that was assumed.
So you have already sort of like a trauma victim buried last year's wonderful year. And the fact that your team threw him away because you had this hotshot young rookie, soon to be second year guy in JJ McCarthy, and you were going to be fine with him, better with him even, cheaper, faster, younger. And now you're wondering, did we just drop the bag?
Yeah, well, that's a big talker in Minnesota. Is this they had Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones on their roster at the end of last year.
That's right.
They got nothing for either one, and they are both in the MVP conversation at the quarter poll.
Right.
Which is actually, the quarter poll is actually when there's only a quarter left, but we'll, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yes. And that's,
this would
that
be
is
three
a
three quarter poll, I guess.
I guess it would
We're
be the three quarter poll.
Yeah. Okay.
The Viking fans, you know, reasonably, because Carson Wentz has looked just like barely good enough to get the job done. Not horrible. He has not lost games for the Vikings. Mm-hmm. The Vikings have had 10 different players have been hurt and missed a game on the Vikings so far. They had in Dubai this week. And we've only seen 7 quarters of healthy J.J. McCarthy, of which one was good. So there is there's some real consternation in Minnesota about the decision to let both of those quarterbacks go. They will get a compensatory pick on Darnold. That's all they'll get back on that.
But I want to know your thoughts. Give me your gut feel right now. Come on, because you're winning, you're scraping by with Wentz so far. McCarthy's coming back next week, right? Because that's after the bye.
After the bye, JJ is expected to come back.
Okay, so the Wentz interlude is over. Bye week, coming back from your great European vacation, and then it's going to be JJ. He better be good when he comes back.
God, the pressure's mounting.
He's not.
Pressure's mounting.
All right. For the record, ladies and gentlemen, Church would not reveal to us what his true gut feelings are, but I think the fact he just glossed over my obvious attempt to set him up for a taunt, that of course there was a bomb year by Darnold with the Vikings last year, and they threw him away because they thought, well, he's shitty in the playoffs, so we can't have that. We need better things. Church has kind of buried that like a trauma survivor.
Well, no,
Whatever it takes to continue is fine.
That's right.
Whatever it takes to continue.
I think the real story is, if you invest the 10th overall pick in the draft in a quarterback, and you're the Vikings general manager, who has been horrible with his drafting, he's been good at other things, the drafting has been terrible, he had to get a win on J.J. McCarthy. Had to. And so he lined up all of his equity behind McCarthy. And now we find out if it's a good call or not. And it may take a long time. McCarthy might struggle. Most of the great quarterbacks now didn't come out great day one. We'll find out. It's still way too early to suggest J.J. McCarthy's not going to be an NFL caliber quarterback. I'm not that yet.
You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process, or you've been struggling to get your job posts seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. You know football and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
All right, so on to this one. Jonathan Gannon, coach of the Cardinals, has now apologized for hitting and yelling at Amari DiMarcado, the ding-dong who dropped the ball, the one, in one of the great collapses ever. Was that the right move, or is America and his pro football getting way too S-A-W-F-T soft? I'm like,
Don't apologize. No, yeah. If you do something that dumb and you lose a game for your team that your team should have won, and granted, there were three extraordinary plays by the Cardinals that could have resulted in victory, but none worse than just dropping the ball before the goal line. It's completely, there's no inexplicable.
The online sensitivity crowd was like, Calais Campbell, a veteran, was already consoling him and coaching him up. He was handling the situation. He didn't need to come in there and be a jerk like that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, the fuck he didn't. He's lucky he wasn't run off the field that very moment and cut before they even left the stadium. That's right. The coach's job to say, what are you doing? We don't have the margins for error on this. And it's not just a mistake. It's like one of the dumbest mistakes ever that keeps happening more and more in football, college, and pro. So no, I don't think you should have apologized. Bullshit.
So what is the driving impetus to have these players drop the ball at the stripe? I mean, they're trying to do it right at the stripe, I think.
Glorified reckless behavior. Do you remember something called the milk cart challenge? Milk crate challenge?
Yeah. People would stack up milk crates and try to get as high on them as they could.
They tried to step over them. They would stack up milk crates about 5-6 feet high, sometimes 4-6 milk crates stacked on top of each other, forming what looks like a relatively simple little stair step thing. You could step down, but milk crates are super fucking unstable. And I don't think I ever saw anybody complete the milk crate challenge, and women were wiping out, getting seriously hurt falling off these milk crates. How did that become a thing? Because of glorified recklessness. Oh, let's do this. The milk crate challenge is akin to the drop the ball 1 microsecond after you score challenge. Sometimes you nail it, sometimes you don't. Is it dumb because it's a game in which every point, every yard is valuable? Of course. But look at how many tattoos athletes get now. Look at how many kids out of wedlock athletes have now. They do a lot of dumb shit that is popular or glorified. The one guy who's the smartest guy in the NFL right now, even though he's not a good quarterback, is Justin Fields. Did you see what he said this week about his jewelry?
No.
It's all fake. It's all good for Amazon.
Him.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
good for
what
him.
He said. He goes, you wouldn't have known it if I didn't tell you. But yeah, I'm not putting that much of my money into something like jewelry. I like the look of it. And I'm sure he's getting shit from his teammates like, oh, you pussy, that's not real ice. Ooh, how's your cubic zirconia? Yeah, well, Justin Fields is going to have a nice, cushy retirement where guys elsewhere around the league are going to be completely broke as shit.
Okay. That is very, very possible. But back to the goal line thing. If you're in it for the gratification, who is it that's coming up to you going, man, you dropped that ball right on the line. That was a great play. You know, right. You know, you released that ball within a millimeter of the line of the goal line. Nobody. Who is gratifying it? For the gratification of whom? Nobody. I've never heard that as a thing that people laud you for, dropping the ball right as you go through the end zone.
I'm pretty sure other players are like, sick. That was cool, man. You were just busting your ass into the end zone, and as soon as you were there, boom, drop it like it's hot.
Yes. Now, you are not in a Circa Survivor League, are you?
No, because that game wiped out half of the Circa Survivor mega pool, where the first prize is what? Several million?
18.
Oh, shit. More than several, I'd say.
More than several. So the day, it started with the Rams game, which was the actually heavier bet, was the Rams game. When the 49ers on Thursday announced that they weren't going to have their quarterback or top three receivers in the game, everybody went to the Rams. And so the Rams had the highest hold. Then the second was the Cardinals. We know how that worked out. And then the Bills hit on Sunday night when the Patriots upset the Bills.
Those were three whammies right there.
Yeah, they lost over 60% of the pool drained that day. So it was an absolute bloodbath. I am still alive. Thank God I took the Colts.
Oh, congratulations.
My one and only entry still survives. But there's still like, I don't know.
What was the entry fee for the $18 million first prize?
So it's $1,000.
Yeah.
Yep. They had 18. They have 18,000 participants.
And do they think there's going to be multiple ones who finish all the way to the end? It's very hard, by the way. Excruciatingly hard to make it through 17 weeks in a survivor pool.
Very, very hard. When you can't pick the same team twice.
Last year, how many survivors made it to the end?
I think there were 4 or 5. Okay. The year before that, I think there were 30.
Okay.
Something in that ballpark. Right. But carve it up as
a nice thing. That's pretty cool. So I'm glad you're alive. It was quite the wipeout.
I'm glad I'm alive. I'm hoping to get to like week 10, and then you start getting into interesting dynamics about selling your team.
Mm.
You know, by week 10, you know, let's say there's 1,000 teams left, $18 million on the line. You've got, you know, implied value of your team at, that would be $18,000, right? If I'm doing the math correct. You know, so there's some point at which selling your team gets to be pretty interesting. Cash out. That's right. Yeah.
To me, I would never cash out. $18,000 is not life-changing money. $18 million, oh, that is.
That is. Big deal. That's life-changing money. Yes.
All right. Well, let's wrap up on this today, Charge. I sent you a tweet, which is some video game history on Twitter, at Video Game History, HSTRY. And they took a photo saying, a GameStop in Colorado still has the Halo 3 mural up from 2007. That prompted the official GameStop account at GameStop, yellow gold check mark, meaning it's the real one, at GameStop said, we'll take it down when something better comes out. That's quite the indictment. Question number one, is GameStop right? Have they fumbled the Halo franchise since?
Horribly. I think they were talking about every video game since Halo 3 and not just the Halo video games.
No.
I think that's what they're saying. And
with all the computing power and the programming and everything and the teraflops and the polygon cubes rendering, how could the games be getting worse?
Well, it's a real thing that's happened is these big AAA games that studios have been working on for 5 years and they finally release and they've got 1,000 employees working on it and subcontractors and huge marketing budgets.
What's a AAA game?
AAA would be Call of Duty.
Why is it called AAA?
Like the movie business, you know, where you've got your summer tent poles. Those are AAA games. These are the ones
like
that
AAA
are coming
rated
from massive
bond
publisher.
Or something like that in the financial
world. Yeah. So this is a big title from a big company with lots of people behind it, years of work. It's not a literal thing where you have to have put this amount of money into it or you have to put this number of people into it. But if it's a, you know, every year there's about 8 AAA games that get released.
Okay.
And more often than not, they are disappointing. And there's increasingly independent, small software developers are beating the big established AAA companies like Electronic Arts and Activision and Blizzard. And they're right now, smaller publishers are doing better.
Interesting. So just disappointing.
Just disappointing. And the theory is, and this gets to the Xbox, which was also news this week. The Xbox just doubled the cost of Game Pass.
from
Game Pass 2 years ago was $15 a month.
Game Pass now was the online access to be able to play your buddies and other randos online, correct?
And access well, content that online, and
download games.
Yes. Yep. They would have roughly a library of 100 games that you could play that came with it. And sometimes it was new releases. Oftentimes it was older games. But Game Pass was a great value. At $15 a month with access to 100 games, you could try all these games that you'd always thought maybe I'd like to try, but I didn't necessarily want to buy. But now they're $30. So across an entire year, $360 gets to be a lot. And the Xbox is floundering in sales. The current Xbox is now 5 years old, and they have raised the price despite technology going down and getting cheaper over 5 years, right? Moore's Law, it should be super cheap. They've raised the price. The high-end Xbox is $700. They've got two models of it, and so it's gone up. And then they're releasing a handheld that will play your Xbox games at $1,000.
$1,000.
Yeah. So they've managed to screw this thing up. Xbox was a great story. My brother worked there. If you'll just indulge me for 2 minutes.
Of course.
When my brother worked at Microsoft, and when he got wind that they were going to spin up and try to compete with Sony in the game space and build a console, mm-hmm. There were only about 100 people who were willing to risk their jobs. You know, you're doing something successfully at Microsoft, a good company with good stock options. And it was, this is 20 years ago. And the people that raised their hand to go try to build this console from scratch were all just hardcore gamers and enthusiasts, people who just loved games and were willing to risk their career to work on the Xbox. So the first Xbox that came out, the console, was not great, but it was a great learning experience. And everybody who was there quickly iterated on the original Xbox and very quickly came out with the Xbox 360. The Xbox 360 ended up beating the PS3 in its generation battle and put Microsoft on the map and made Microsoft a serious player in video games. And at this point, it's still small, but it was such a runaway success. And for so long, it was the best place to play multiplayer games for 6 years. And then all the rest of Microsoft people wanted to come in. People that didn't know gaming, people that wanted to correct their careers, people that didn't have the shiny object
within the company, and they're like, ooh, let's get on the Xbox division. It's hot right now.
That's exactly what happened. And you got people that didn't know shit about gaming, and people who, middle management layers got in. They went from a tiny group of passionate, brilliant people to middle managers who didn't give a shit about games. And it's the very next console that came out was supposed to be a TV first. It was supposed to bring TVs content that. And integrated TV to everybody.
I remember that. Yeah.
When they launched the Xbox One, it was all about TV and nothing about games. And they had that, and they've never recovered since then.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. And they're putting out disappointing games that still can't match Halo 3. And when you say that disappointing, Church can't quite put his finger on what disappointing is, but I'd say it would be like as disappointing as going to a Diddy party and finding out they were actually out of lube the one time.
The one time. The one time.
Do you think the sentence he got was too light, Diddy?
I haven't seen his sentence. What was it?
I think it's 5 years he got. Let me go to Grok on this as we close it out here. Go ahead and do some shameless self-promoting, Charge, please, right now.
Yeah. Fantasy Football Weekly is the best fantasy football podcast in the world. Mm-hmm. It airs on several stations over the air. But if you don't want to listen over the air because you don't happen to be in the car or whatever, you can just download the podcast wherever you love podcasts, Fantasy Football Weekly. The Chop Podcast for those in guillotine leagues, giving you lots of advice around how much you should bid for various players. We've added a second day to the Chop Podcast. We do Thursdays as well, where we warn you off of playing players that might get you chopped. Flex level guys, you'll be tempted to start, and we're going to say, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Not so fast, my friend. Yeah, as Lee Corso once said. Okay, Diddy got 50 months in prison, so 4 years and 2 months. This for his, you know, his more serious charges of racketeering and sex trafficking were knocked down. Convicted on two counts of transportation to engage in prostitution under the Mann Act, M-A-N-N Act. Hmm. We'll see how much of that he serves, but there you go. Charge, I'm going to release you to Vegas. Please have some fun out there while you're hobnobbing with industry types. And we will check in next week. How about?
Sounds awesome. Thanks, Abe. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Each child to succeed. People care how they live. Each has so much to give. This is a
You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie Zulu. Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.